We have our brother Jonathan Freer, and he has chosen for his topic, Wisdom from Above. Wisdom from Above. Brother Jonathan.
Good afternoon. I have to start by telling what a privilege it is for the Heavenly Father to allow Sister Catherine and I to be here this year with our brethren, with you brethren here at General Convention. We've been here off and on for the past 13 years. We started attending General Convention. I think we've attended about 9 of them, and anytime we miss a General Convention, it's always sad. I've been here a couple times with Catherine, and it's been sad, and also she lets me know that she's not happy when I leave her at home for a variety of reasons. But she's able to be here this year with us, and unfortunately and fortunately, our daughters aren't with us. They're growing up, and they're involved in activities and work, and they wanted their love brought to this convention also. I also have to bring you the love of the your brethren in Sacramento. There's about 25 brethren there, and they voted unanimously to send their love to this convention. I spent the June 30th, I've been in Canada, and I had the privilege of serving Prince Albert over the 4th of July weekend, and I again had the privilege of serving Yorkton the following weekend. And so I'm not Canadian, but I'm becoming Canadian, and I have been given the charge of bringing the love of both those conventions there. I'm also learning to speak Canadian. It's good to be with you. Eh? You know, I've been up there 2 years now, and it's just a wonderful blessing. And for 3 weeks, I've been able to be with the brethren. And they say that the best form of flattery is emulation, so I hope you take it that way. You know, our man at Tex this morning started off by, I think, bringing out the fact of perfect peace, and how our mind, if we're stayed on the Heavenly Father, gives us perfect peace. And I've appreciated the theme text because it really talks about how we receive salvation through the process of sanctification and the Spirit, or through God's holy energy and belief and understanding of His truth. And that's important to us. And so I appreciate the wisdom of the committee in selecting that particular theme. Wisdom from above. Aren't we thankful that our wisdom comes from above, from our Heavenly Father and through our Lord? I've always enjoyed the letter of Ephesians. It's been one of my favorite letters for quite some time. But recently, our class of the last year has spent some time studying James. And it's interesting how I've never really read it in detail and studied it, but there's so many important things in the letter from James that really apply to the church today. And our theme is taken from, if we'll turn there, the third chapter of James. Most of you are probably familiar with this, but it's the 17th and 18th verse. And it always interests me how the Heavenly Father gives us lists of things, of ways to be and things to do and how to act. And some of these things have been brought out at convention here yesterday and today. But in James 3, 17 through 18, it says, "But the wisdom that is from above," and it gives us an order of things. It's first pure, and then it's peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy, and I like that because it's, you know, when something's full, there's no room for anything else, is there? So true wisdom is full of mercy, and if we're full of mercy, we can't be full of anything else. And I like the use of that term, full of mercy. And of course, it has to have good fruits. It's without partiality and without hypocrisy. And so we have these 8 characteristics of divine wisdom that are brought forth here for us by James, and it really gives us clues as to how we should conduct ourselves in following Christ's footsteps. You know, Paul said, "I am all things to all men." You'll find that in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. But I thought about, what does it mean to be all things to all men? And I think if you take these admonishments about the characteristics of gentleness and meekness and kindness and without partiality and without hypocrisy, if we have these characteristics, then it becomes easier for us to be all things to all men in how we conduct ourselves and amongst ourselves. But I'll list these eight characteristics that come from this particular verse. And the first one is pure. It's pure. Number two is peaceable. Number three is gentle. Number four is easily entreated. Number five is full of mercy. Six is full of good fruits. Seven is without partiality. And eight is without hypocrisy. So there's eight primary characteristics that are mentioned in these two verses. When I read these, I think about being a peacemaker and what it means to be a peacemaker. And I ask the question, do you want to be a peacemaker? I mean, we talk about the kingdom. We talk about the mediatorial reign and the kingdom. We talk about, you know, the highway of holiness that the world of mankind will walk up. And I think to be a mediator, we have to be peacemakers. And I think to make that trip up that narrow way, through that narrow gate, we have to have these attributes in our mind and in our heart to be peacemakers beyond the veil. And so it's my goal to be a peacemaker, and I'm certain it's your goal to be a peacemaker. So what we're going to do today is we're going to take time to look at each of these characteristics, and I like word studies, so we'll look at a few meanings of all these words and some of the Strong's meanings. The first word is pure, and that's from Strong's 53, and you can look these up yourselves. It gives more detail in your own time, but it means to be chaste. This is pure now. Chaste, holy, and clean, innocent, and blameless. If the truth is pure, brethren, I think that what happens is that we become sanctified. As our theme text tells us, it sanctifies us into giving us a spirit of the truth. And that's important. You know, our Lord talked about that, these attributes, in the Sermon on the Mount. And if we turn to Matthew 5, verse 1, And this, again, is kind of a list of, he's talking about characteristics, but they're also a list of things that we can consider. And this is starting at verse 1. It says, "And seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And meekness to me is humility. We have an attitude of humility. "Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." You know, again, through sanctification and the Spirit of the Heavenly Father, we're sanctified through the truth and we'd be filled. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." You know, and so, how do we see God when we're merciful? I mean, how would we in this earthen vessel as new creatures, how do we see God in our mercy? I think one way for myself, it makes me recognize the mercy that the Heavenly Father's had towards me as a sinner. And then it goes on to the ninth verse, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." And it goes on to talk about other aspects of being peacemakers. And it goes on in the 12th verse, says, "Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Okay, so we have trials, we have experiences, but the way we act when we put on these attributes and these characters in a pure mind, in a pure conscience, and the truth works in us, the pure works of the truth, then we have this, we basically move towards peaceableness. Let's now turn to 1 Timothy. And we'll go to the 5th chapter and we'll read verse 8. That's not the scripture I wanted. Okay, so let's go to 1 Peter 1:22. "For even unto thereunto where you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving for us an example that we should follow his steps." And a lot of what we're going to be talking about is that when we're if we're putting on these attributes, we're really putting on the mind of Christ, aren't we? Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. and who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. All right, so our Lord led the way. He's the example for us. And if you consider the fact that he did not have to die, the things that he did in his willing sacrifice in relationship to God's pure truth are pretty overwhelming. Let's look at peaceable now. And it's interesting because it doesn't say peaceable first and then pure. You know, and I think that's important because unless we have a pure understanding of the truth, we really don't know what it means to live peaceable lives like our Lord wants us to live. And the examples and the other characteristics we're going to talk about, if we don't have a pure understanding of the truth and how to apply it in our lives, then it's difficult for us to apply these other aspects. But peaceable is from, again, Strong's 15:16, and it means to lead a life quietly in a restful manner, not to creating strife. And if we turn to Romans, the 12th chapter, we have another list. We'll read verse 9, 10, 12, and 17 through 18. This is Romans 12, 9, 10, verse 12, and 17 through 18. Verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor that which is evil, cling to that which is good. All right, so again, what's pure we cling to, and what's the peaceable things we learn, we cling to those. Verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. And then we go into verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing diligently in prayer. And there, in verse 17 through verse 18, it says, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Okay, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, we heard a little bit earlier about, you know, being vengeful, revenge, and having those kinds of characteristics, and I have those characteristics, and my humanity has those characteristics, and I have to fight against those characteristics all the time. But it's a pure knowledge and understanding in the Holy Spirit that helps us through those things. And then let's turn to Hebrews 12, the 12th chapter of Hebrews. This would be Hebrews 12, 13 through 15. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You know, that's pretty important. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. So we have to live a peaceable life, don't we? It's required of us. And Brother Wade talked about levels of Christian character and development. And, you know, I believe at some point in time we have to have these. And if we're going to be faithful and make our calling election sure and serve on the other side of the veil, we have to have this in our heart, this peaceable nature. And I'm challenged every time I drive on the road. I mean, it's a real challenge, and the condition of the world make it very difficult for us. And then the 15th verse tells us, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and by it many be defiled. You know, when I read these things, I wonder, okay, well, why is Paul... Well, I know for me why he puts him in there, because it's the message is for me. We do these things. Brethren, we have these challenges in our Christian walk that confront us, that get in our way. You know, I always say, I'm always getting in my way. I'm always causing myself to stumble because I'm my worst enemy. I just get in my way. And so I'm fighting on those things. So it's my prayer that we all look diligently, rooting out any bitterness springing up or that would trouble us. And defile us. It's a difficult, narrow way that we're working on. So it's important to be peaceful, brethren, amongst ourselves and the world of mankind. Number three is gentle, and that's from Strong's 1933. And it means to act appropriately. Okay? And that's interesting because that would mean everything we do, we have to act in an appropriate manner. It means to be mild and moderate, to be meek, And when it says meek, to me, it reminds me of being Christ-like, what it means to be Christ-like. It means to be modest, and I think the primary meaning is to be kind. Be kind to one another. Again, we read that scripture. Be affectionately kind to one another. Very important admonition for us to follow. Let's go back to Romans, and we may have read this, but let's look at that Romans 12:10 again. Be kindly affectionate one to another, without with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. You think about what that means, this brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another? I think what it means is you put your brother first. Whatever is happening, you always are considerate of your brethren. Before, you would be considerate of yourself. We have some scriptures related to this, and the first is in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, my favorite letter. And this will start at verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, by whom ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And it goes on to say, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Get rid of it. You know, put that away. And be ye kind one to another. Here's some more. Here's another list. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Think about it. It's while yet we were sinners that we were forgiven, and our Lord was provided this ransom sacrifice on our behalf, that we were sinners. And so we need to keep that in mind, being tender-hearted. It's important, being forgiven, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, His Son's sake, forgave us. Let's turn to Colossians, the third chapter, verse 12 through 17. Here's another list. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. You know, God is long-suffering, isn't He? He's waiting. He's very long-suffering. In terms of who we are and what we need to accomplish to make our calling and election sure, it is long-suffering. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And then the 14th verse is, and above all these things put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. So if we're going to be perfect, if we're going to move towards perfection, and work in the millennial kingdom as a mediator in perfection, we have to, our Heavenly Father and our Lord's testing us now on these characteristics. And then let's turn to 1 Peter, 1 Peter 1, 5 through 10. Actually, we'll start at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God, it's through God's abundant mercy that He's done this on our behalf. And what too? To an inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, and is reserved in heaven for us. It says for you, but it's for us. And it goes on to say, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So, again, that third verse, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection, or through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. You know, so here's this level of mercy that our Heavenly Father had on our behalf by giving His Son on our behalf. His tender mercy and kindness and grace towards us. So it's important to be kindly affectioned one to another, just as our Lord was towards us. Easily entreated. This means to not be stubborn. Yielding to others and submissive. Brother, I don't want to hear what you have to say. It's not important to me. Or sister, I don't want to hear what you have to say. It's not important to me. You know, listening is a difficult process it is for me. When someone is talking, are you listening? Are you like me? Are you thinking what you want to say? Sometimes I do that. I've worked on my listening skills to hear what somebody has to say so I get the clear picture. But I'm certain I'm not the only one in the world that does that. You know, so think about that. When someone's talking to you and telling you something, are you really listening to what they're saying? Or are you thinking about what you want to say? I've been teaching now the last 3 years, and one of the things I do with my students, I teach 14 to 18-year-old students in a juvenile delinquent facility, and I'll be talking to them, and I'll be talking along, and I'll say, okay, what did I just say? And I'll say, well, what do you mean? I mean, what did I just say? I don't know. Okay. And so I say, you know, listen. And that's a good tool when you're talking to somebody is asking questions. Did you hear what I just said? I do that. I'm notorious for that. You know, it's called engaging. You engage them and you focus on what they're saying. And you know, you've heard it. You have two ears and one mouth. You're supposed to listen twice as much as you talk. So when someone is talking, are you listening? Yielding, being submissive to what somebody has to say. You know, my goal would be to listen patiently to what somebody has to say. Full of mercy, that's 33:24, and it means we've kind of touched on that, but it means to be very tender with passion, always forgiving, always performing acts of kindness, and always having compassion. Full of mercy. You know, God, I mean, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That was based on mercy for the world of mankind. You know, and Jesus, this came out recently in Yorkton. I was really surprised and I never really thought about it. But, you know, think about this. Jesus was a perfect human being. He had a right to perfect life. God couldn't kill him. God couldn't cause his death because under God's just law, Jesus had a right to life. So Jesus had to give his life a sacrificial life. Think about that. You know, our Lord fulfilled the law of love and when he gave up his life, and he gave his life a sacrificial life. And it tells us what we're supposed to do in the sixth chapter of Romans. And we'll start at the verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in it? Know ye not that as many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his deaths, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. We will see him as he is. If we are planted in the likeness of his death, if we give our lives a sacrificial death, our entire Christian walk, we will see him. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should no longer serve sin. And then the 11th verse says, likewise, reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's through our Lord that this door has been opened for us. And again, it's while we're sinners. We talk about the glorious kingdom and the fact that the church will be glorious, will show God's glory. And I like to think about that because he will accomplish this with sinners. Our humanity is sinful in nature. There's a couple of scriptures that I really like that relate to mercy. And I was recently asked, why do I study this so much? It's character. It's because to me, I think it's one of the most important aspects, this aspect of character development. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 7, regarding mercy, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So, is it important to be merciful? If you want mercy from God, it's important to be merciful, isn't it? And then Matthew 6, the 14th and 15th verses. And I think this is a really, really important admonition for us. It says, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Right? Do we want to be forgiven? We want to be forgiven for a lot of things. And so that's pretty clear. It's pretty straightforward. Then it goes on in the 15th verse, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So forgiveness is an important aspect of this wisdom from heaven. And then Luke 6:36. Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. We need to be like our Heavenly Father. And our Lord emulated our Heavenly Father, didn't he? The next aspect of wisdom from above is full of good fruit. You know, I think I mentioned this. If we're full of good fruit, there's no room for bad fruit, is there? And we have another list here in Galatians 5, 22 through 23, and it talks about these fruits of the Spirit. Again, this is Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. I like that because if you're practicing mercy and you're practicing kindness and you're practicing humility, nobody can say anything against you. They can't pass any judgment against what you're doing. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So very clear in terms of our direction and how we would respond to our brethren. The next one is without partiality. And that's from Strong's 87. It says, we won't discriminate. Let's turn to James, the second chapter of James. And we'll look at start at verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Christ Jesus, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto you, to your assembly, a man with a gold ring and fine apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the fine clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand over there, or sit over there under the footstool. And ye not then, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges with evil thoughts? How far do you think that goes in our, you know, how we conduct ourselves amongst ourselves and even in the world for that matter? I think we need to be conscious of the fact that we have brethren among us that, and I've done this. I go to a convention. What I'm trying to do is if I go to a convention and I see somebody sitting alone or whatever, I try to go over and sit next to that person and talk to them. I think that kind of fulfills that and is one way that fulfills that admonishment. Verse 5, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? And this 8th verse I really like. It says, if ye fill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. All right, so, and I think the royal law, if you look at that, the royal law really is love. It really talks about the importance of loving and having a loving attitude and heart condition. Without hypocrisy, that means to be open and honest. It means to be genuine and true, and it means to do it with sincerity and unfeigned. You know, last year, I think at General Convention, a brother said, I love you, brethren, but I can't meet with you. Doesn't that sound, what? I love you, but I can't meet with you? I don't understand that. Or, I have the truth, but you don't. Not that we put yokes around our brethren, but we have to allow our brethren the freedom to study and make the truth his or her own. And I'm not saying that doctrine aren't important, but I want to be with a group of brethren that creates harmony in those kinds of schisms and works towards bringing those kinds of schisms together rather than saying, well, I'm not going to meet with them because they don't, for whatever reason, I don't agree with what they believe in. I wouldn't want to be in that group. 1 Corinthians 5:8. Some of you will probably get there before me. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You know, keeping the feast, you know, we have a love feast here, and there's a lot of different ways you can apply this, but what does it really mean to keep the feast? It's how we conduct ourselves amongst our brethren, and we do it without the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, and we'll read verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that is simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God we have behaved ourselves in the world and have more abundantly toward you. How we react towards you, a principle of Christian living. And then in 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we are not as many who corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. In other words, we speak the truth and wisdom based on the sanctification that we've received through our Heavenly Father. And then we'll turn to Philippians, the first chapter, verse 10. That ye may approve things that are excellent, and that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. You know, what we say and what we believe and what we discuss and how we say it and how we react to one another is without hypocrisy. It's unfeigned. And then Titus 2:7. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, you know, pure truth, the power of God, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Important admonitions. And then I'll close with the reading of Corinthians, the 13th chapter of Corinthians. I'm sure many of you have read this. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding bronze or tinkling cymbal. You know, James talks about being a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains not have love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love, it suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love is not vaunted. It's not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemingly, and it seeketh not its own, is not easily provoked, and it thinks no evil. It rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It beareth all things, it believes all things, it hopeth all things, and it endures all things. It never fails. But wherever there be prophecies, there shall be done away with. Whether there be tongues, they shall be ceased, and whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So all those things compared to love, I mean, what is that telling you? What does it really mean? All these things you can have, knowledge and understanding and truth and wisdom and power, without love, without the agape love and the character that our Heavenly Father wants to have us develop, it's meaningless. Verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is part shall be done away with. So when I was a child, I spoke as a child, and I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also know. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. And what does it say? But the greatest of these is love. So may the Lord add his blessing.